Welcome to RCGP Scotland Presents Generally Speaking. This, the 11th episode of the podcast, RCGP Scotland Chair Dr. Chris Proven is joined by Dr. Robert Manson, the College's Clinical Lead for Interface Working, to discuss efforts to improve working between primary and secondary care.
With me today is Dr. Robert Manson, who has been our clinical lead around the interface coming up for 3 years now. So fantastic to have you here, Robert, to talk about the interface. Do you want to just give us a brief introduction?
Okay. Hi, thank you for having me. So I'm Robert, I'm a GP. I work in Peebles in the Scottish Borders. I've been there for 13 years now and enjoy that very much. And for the last 3 years, I've been the RCGP Scotland interface lead and have enjoyed that very much also.
Yeah, doing a great job around the interface. I suppose one of the good things to really start with is describe to listeners what you mean by the interface, just so we can be clear on that at the beginning.
Yeah, so when we talk about the interface between primary and secondary care, it's really the way that your GP surgery interacts with the hospital. And when we say the GP surgery, we mean the wider team. It could be the community nurses, it could be the physiotherapists, the other members of the wider primary care team, and how they interact with the hospital. And that's the domain and the area in which I've been working.
So we're obviously aware as GPs, we've experienced it in the front line about problems around the interface. Why do you think there are problems really around there?
Well, the interface between GP surgeries and hospitals is where the care of patients is transferred. And for example, every year in Scotland, there are over 1 million referrals to outpatient departments. Wow. And several times more than that, outpatient appointments. Now, each and every time the patient's referred, there follows a letter with a communication regarding information about the patient. Now, that's safety critical. It's important that information is correct. And then the same happens when the patient's been seen and a letter follows the patient back to the GP surgery. Now, that's regarding referrals to outpatients. And in that, there may be changes to management plans. There may be changes to medication or further instructions as to what should happen with the patient. Now, the same goes for every time that a patient's admitted to hospital, every time a patient's discharged from hospital, every time they attend out of hours or even A&E departments. When investigations are requested in secondary care or within the hospital or when results are reported, but each and every time that this happens, that there's a critical information transfer and it's high volume safety critical activity. And so it's really important that this is done well each and every time. Now, if there's any concern that that's not being done well or there's any possible problems here, it's important that we know about that because at the centre of every interaction is a patient.
It is. I mean, I've seen difficulties with medication, difficulties around really what the plan is going forward with patients. So it's about communication very much. Yes. I've also read some books about what's called human factors, which I find fascinating around how humans work around these kind of problems. But I know you've been doing some work around that as well.
Yeah, so perhaps for people listening, maybe to give some more examples, if you take an example where a patient is referred by a GP to the hospital, to the hospital team, and they wait several months for an outpatient appointment and they get to see the secondary care team and are prescribed a medicine that they could have been given back in general practice a few months previous to that, then that's not really serving patients well. The other examples are when patients are maybe in hospital following a complex admission, a medical admission, they're then discharged with instructions to go and see their GP, perhaps to have blood pressure checked or to have their medicines changed or they need to have some blood tests. Now, sometimes patients come out of hospital and they go and see the GP before the communication actually arrives to tell the GP that they've been in hospital. So the human factors element is a way of looking at that. These are complex systems and human factors enables you to look at these happenings and try to find ways to improve it in a way that is going to benefit patients.
Yeah, it's looking about how humans work within the system and how we can make that better and safer. Yes. Absolutely. So as our clinician representative, you've been really involved heavily in our work around this. So I think there's a lot of potential there in good interface groups. What do you see as the potential then yourself of interface groups?
So I think the ways in which the hospitals and the GP surgeries are currently working together could be significantly improved. The other example that we sometimes talk about is that if I refer a patient to see a specialist in the hospital and a patient then asks me how long will it be until they're seen, I have no idea when that they're likely to be seen. I can tell them that I've sent the referral letter, but I can't tell them how long the wait will be. Have they been triaged? What other people are waiting for that? Now, we know that the data around waiting times is often quite crude. It's not really that easy for patients to interpret how long they will be waiting for. However, if I order a pizza from Domino's, for example, yep. and I use a Domino's app, I can tell exactly where the pizza is in that production process. Is it in the oven? Has it been out for checks? Is it out for delivery? Now, I think the world has moved on, but often the service patients are presented with is often behind the rest of society. So I think there's huge potential improvements that can be made. The improvements can help with efficiency. We know that when patients are often having multiple contacts to try and navigate care, that this uses up resources, and there's good evidence that this contributes quite significantly to wastage and poor productivity within healthcare systems. There are obviously safety concerns around this as well, and it's really important this is done well. And alongside that, each and every time, the anxiety that patients experience is very, very difficult for patients. We have a patient forum with RCGP Scotland, and when we ask patients, they describe their experience in this area to be frightening, disconcerting, confusing. You know, that people are worried that people are going to forget about them or they'll get lost in the system, and sometimes that unfortunately does happen. So in terms of what the future looks like, I think we can improve things quite significantly. Don Berwick was previously the lead yep. of Medicare, Medicaid, Institute for Healthcare Improvement in America, and his suggestion for the optimal way for healthcare systems to operate was to have a boundarylessness, to have no boundaries between different domains, to break down silos and for systems to be able to react with speed and agility. There should be unconditional teamwork, and I think in this domain, this means that the GP teams, the primary care teams, and the secondary care teams should find ways to work together unconditionally with a relentless patient focus and to have a focus on innovation. I think that's often, these elements are often missing just now. And I think what I would like to see is for the health boards who are now being asked to have what's called interface groups, where you have a group of clinicians and relevant managers and admin staff within the health board to have oversight of this area and to start to bring about some of these changes with the aim of improving the patient experience.
Really fantastic summary there. I'm looking at interface groups, which we've been really pushing hard for. What does a good interface group look like then?
Well, we've spoken to all the relevant people within the health boards in Scotland who are involved in interface work over the last 2 years or so. One of the most important things is the aim for the group should be clear. And I think what really seems to work is to, when the group aims to improve the patient journey, I think to have everybody aligned to try and improve this experience that the patients are having is really important. I think that there must be relevant representation from both the GP side and from the hospital side. I think you have the right people there, but these groups have got to be resourced by the government. You have to have the correct people there, and that often involves finding the resource to free up the people's time to go and attend the groups. You want to have a culture which is collaborative and focused on outcomes, and it keeps the experience of patients at the heart of everything that they do. And when we see this happening in Scotland, we see this happening already, and when health boards subgroups which act in this way, you start to see some good outcomes. Now, the things that we've seen that are positive, that there's been a real focus on communication within these interface groups and the different health boards, and several different health boards have prioritised this, looking at the way clinicians communicate with each other and with other staff members within the wider system. And some of the things they do would be, for example, looking to bring people together, such as with workplace shadowing, which I know that you know about that personally, Chris.
Yeah.
And sometimes making sure that in a world of Microsoft Teams, that people are still coming into the room together with regularity to get to know each other and form relationships. Health boards have looked at, there are groups within health boards which have looked at the discharge letters and the form of the discharge letter. Some health boards have looked at copying patients into the discharge letter to make sure that the patients are fully informed.
Yep.
And aware of the plan for their care. So these are some of the things that we've seen across Scotland and want to now encourage to be undertaken on a wider and a more concerted effort.
So it's about spreading good culture, good practice, good ways of working across that interface. We ran a programme in Grampian a few years ago where consultants came out into the community and shadows us. We're often surprised about the complexity of the types of things and just what our role is. And likewise, I followed around a couple of consultants and had a social worker with me one point. So it was good just putting yourself in somebody else's shoes around there. I think key things are around communication and leadership across these areas. I think we still work in silos because of potential contractual things. Would you agree with that, or what do you think?
Yes. I mean, when I go into to work in the morning, my requirement is clear to provide healthcare Monday to Friday between 8 and 6 for people who are ill or believe themselves to be ill. And I think every GP is very mindful of that commitment to that service. I think, however, the more that you experience the system, the wider healthcare system, from either a GP perspective, primary care or secondary care perspective, it's clear that there's a need for both areas to work together to improve the overall system. Quite often, for example, if there's a significant event which happens, we as a GP practice can look at that in terms of the elements which happened within the practice. However, if there is an issue out with the practice, it's often difficult for us then to find the appropriate people to try and address that. And I know it's the same in the hospital, from the hospital perspective. I know that they often feel that they don't have good ways to communicate back practices. And so I think there needs to be a way to bring both together to try and find a way to improve things. So I think there's a mutually beneficial arrangement, which, as I say, I think stands to benefit both parties, but also, importantly, the patient as well.
Absolutely. The patient, you mentioned the patient forum. I mean, I think patients, sometimes we want to enable them to have information, be in control of knowing where they are, rather than just referring them into this big black hole, it feels like, for a while until they're seen. And those are things that we can improve for that patient journey and working together across that. I think it's important for people to know what the roles are on both sides and how they responsibilities, how they do work together. So we look at the whole pathway so that patients know what's going to happen, what's expecting, and get the best care. And if you're bringing together that group, you need to free up the GPs and the consultants and the rest of the team members to think about how we do that.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, this is, to my mind, very important work. I think it's work. If you're looking to improve the way that the healthcare system functions, I think it's almost impossible to do that without fully addressing some of the problems in this area just now. So I think there's a significant upside. However, for that to be realised, the people attending meetings, the people who are looking to get involved in this area need to be funded, needs to be resourced for that to happen, and for that to happen well. I think you're right as well, just going back a point or two, where it's important that we optimise systems for patients, but it's also for all the staff involved as well. And going back to the original question about human factors, this has been something that I've learned a reasonable amount from, mainly from colleagues with NHS Education Scotland who are working in the human factors domain, and they're always at pains to point out that we need to optimise not just for the patients, but for all people involved in the delivery of healthcare systems as well, because without both groups being served with the way that systems are designed, then they're doomed to fail, really. So I think this is all really important work, but it needs to be resourced.
I mean, I think GPs, their teams, come to work in the morning, want to do a really good job, and it's about enabling them to do that, so that they can work as a team and then work with the hospital as a team as well, and making that sustainable. It's about good IT, it's good communication, those types of things, and knowing what the other person's role involves, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point, that one of the other things which has happened at some of the health boards is that they've made moves to clarify the role at the interface, and often for people who have not worked in this area, there's often little appreciation for the responsibilities and roles of other clinicians or other team members within the care, the provision of care for a patient. Certainly in some of the health boards, some of these groups have worked to clarify the roles, which I think really does help significantly to try and bring about improvements. You need to know what people are meant to do before you can actually try to improve what they're actually doing.
Yeah, and need to know and value everybody's contribution there. And I think there's good work happening in interface groups, and we're trying to really think about that and spread that. So what do you have hope for the future around the interface and those types of groups? What would you say about that?
Well, I mean, this is a really exciting time for the interface. As you know, the last year, the Scottish Government's service renewal framework was published, and this one of the key aims. This is how the healthcare will be provided on a sustainable basis for people in Scotland over the coming years. And interface groups are mentioned specifically within that. Now, prior to this, there'd be no requirement for health boards to have an interface group, but hopefully we'll start to see improvements, therefore, in this area. And so on the back of that, there's work now proceeding to which we're involved with to help provide a clear idea as to what these interface groups should look like in the future, and how these should be used to maximise and provide the best amount of care, best possible care for patients. So I would see a future where these groups develop and mature, where they're fully resourced and they're able to bring about the benefits for patients, but also for clinicians and other staff members involved, but also for in terms of efficiency and productivity within the healthcare service to free up resources also. And so I think there's a really key role there. I see that being provided by well-functioning interface groups that are designed to really make sure that the improvements and innovation and all these other things that we mentioned earlier can be brought to bear. I think that there's huge scope for collaboration then between the different health board groups. I think you need to look at the structures as to how each health board operates and how the interface fits into that. But I know from speaking to people in this area within the different health boards that some solutions have been found to problems in one health board, but they've not necessarily been shared with other health boards. So I think in the future it would be good to see that these solutions are being shared across, the shared learning is being is being spread out and communicated to other health groups. There's also, I think, potential for interactions with the interface groups in clusters. So clusters are the groupings of GP surgeries that are looking to improve quality of care. And I think that the interface groups potentially have a role to play in bringing together the learning from clusters. But then also we've got the national picture where you've got SD, Centre for Sustainable Delivery, have national level guidelines, and which may well help boards to save the board, health boards time in terms of delivering guidelines. I think that the interface groups have got a role to play within that as well. So it's an exciting time. I think that these groups could be pivotal to the way that the services develop and to help improve the services in the future. But there's still some work to be done before then, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that the Scottish Government in their recent funding have prioritised, which shows that we've managed to get across the message around the importance of that for patients, and that's important. I think you've got a kind of framework or suggestions of what makes up a grid interface group from the experience of what you've learnt, and it would be good to spread that good practice. I've certainly been involved in significant events across that interface. And if we can actually crack being able to look at those and how we work together, and as you say, it's a complex system, then that's the prize we're looking for. Really, the prize is better patient care and people not falling down between things. So anything else you want to say, Robert, at the moment? Anything else that we've missed out that we should be highlighting?
No, thank you for the opportunity to come and speak about this today, because I do appreciate that. It's interesting. So the professor at NES, that National NHS Education Scotland, that I've spoken to and met with and has been very supportive of this work, is Paul Bowie. And Professor Bowie describes healthcare as being the most complex human endeavour that mankind has ever undertaken. And I think we should maybe give ourselves that freedom that allows, that this is actually a very difficult area to navigate and the complexity is significant. However, with the right approach, the right people, and the right plan, I think that in the future we can hopefully start to glean some improvements for patients across Scotland.
Absolutely. That's a good note to end on, really, with those thoughts about the complexity of it. So thank you very much, Robert. That was really interesting around how we continue to work and support this around the interface. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Generally Speaking, the RCGP Scotland podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media to stay up to date with all of the work and news from across the college.